people. And guess what? I'm glad to be one of God's people. Amen. I need God's mercy all the time. Amen. You know why? Because even when I think I'm doing good, I don't raise to God's standard. Amen. See, the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. That means all of y'all. And me too. Amen. Amen. So that's why, you know what? I don't have no superiority complex. I'm not superior to anybody. Because all of us needs God's grace and mercy. All of us needs God's loving kindness. All of us needs God's tender mercy. Amen? Amen. So guess what? I feel very important. I feel very significant. But not more significant than you. Amen. See, that's what we have to balance out in the world that we live in, because sometimes when people feel good about themselves, they look down on other people. Right, man. Amen. But you don't have to do that. You know why? Because God's grace is sufficient for all of us. Amen. As a matter of fact, if I'm here and you're not where I think you should be, my job is not to look down on you. My job is to reach to you. Yeah. Amen. And sometimes we have assumed that we are high and someone else is low, but we didn't realize they're highly exalted. Because position doesn't make you important. Amen. Sometimes we think position makes us valuable. My value doesn't come from my position. I'm in my position because I'm valuable. Come on, y'all. You get in your position because of your value. Your value don't make it. If you're not valuable, your position don't make no difference. And value is not measured based on who you are, but what you provide. Amen. Think about it. Your value is not based on who you are. Your value is based on what you provide. So when I was a child, my mother was a clerk for Alameda County. And so some people think a clerk is not that valuable because there's lots of clerks. But to me, my mother was the most important person in the world. You know why? Because my mother provided everything for me. When me and my mother living in a little room, I had the bedroom and she had the living room. She didn't have a bedroom. She put her baby in the bedroom, and she slept in the living room. My mother had a pull-out couch. Y'all remember the old pull-out couches? I keep one in my house just to remember sometimes. In our living room was a pull-out couch, a little table, one of them old, a 12-inch black and white television. Y'all get mad if you're watching a 40-inch, you feel insulted. We had a 12-inch black and white TV with turn dials on the side. Five channels, and that was it. Y'all can cover five channels with four clicks. But sometimes our gratitude doesn't match where we come from. Amen. Amen? Amen? My mother had this little couch, little table, little TV. And my mother was the most important person in the world. Amen. Because her value was not based on what she does, but what she provided. See, we have to always remember that God doesn't value things the way we value things. We value things by flesh, by what we see. God values things by spirit. When David was a shepherd boy, not thought highly of by his siblings, and may not have been valued by his father. When the prophet Jesse comes to the house, not the prophet Jesse, Father Jesse. But when the prophet comes to the house, told by God that there's a king in this house, The next king of Israel is in this house. Jesse, bring me your sons. God said, one of your sons is going to be the king. He brings out the tall one. Nope. Brings out the strong one. Nope. Brings out the handsome one. Nope. Brings out the smart one. Nope. Brings all of the six that he thinks would be the one, all of them out. So much so the prophet has to say, you got to have another son. Because these guys, this is not, these aren't the ones. Amen. And the shepherd boy, the one they had to go get, the one the father didn't even think highly enough could even possibly be the one, is the one God chose. And he said, God does not look at the outward man. God looks at the heart. Amen. And when we say God looks at the heart, because sometimes we misuse that, because we say, oh, well, God knows my heart. Whenever you say, well, God knows my heart, it usually means, I know I was wrong, but God understands me. Amen. Last week we talked about worship, about being a worshiper, about recognizing that being a worshiper puts us in the position to bring about the manifestation of the presence of God. And we know that God has two kinds of presence. He has his omnipresence, in which the hand of God is everywhere. Why? Because he created all things. And because God created everything, God is everywhere. But then there is the manifested presence of God, when God just shows up in a space and we not only know by understanding that God is everywhere, but we sense his presence. In other words, God chooses to show up in spaces, sometimes because he needs to be seen, heard, or understood. Amen? And so we recognize that when we worship, we create an atmosphere to God to be seen, heard, and understood. And if we don't worship, then sometimes God is speaking and we don't know it. Jesus would show up in a place and he would preach something, and after he finished talking, people wouldn't realize they just heard God's voice. And he would have to say, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. In other words, God just spoke, and if you didn't have an ear to hear it, you missed it. Amen. I've recognized that sometimes in my life I get consumed with what's in front of me because I'm one of those people who's very good about being focused in one spot at one time. And so I can get focused and I can get locked into something and I can get caught up in the moment of that and God can be speaking and I miss it. And then when I replay the tape, I say, wait a minute, God was talking. But I was too stuck on what I was doing to hear his voice speaking to me. And then I have to do one of the most important things that a Christian can ever do in their life. And that is, I had to repent. Repentance is one of the most important things. It's the most critical thing that you can do as a believer, because if you can't repent, you can't change. And unless you change, you will always experience what you've always experienced. Change has to be part of our lives in order for us to go to new places, new spaces, and new levels with God, especially. Because if I don't change, I have to remain the same. Amen? Tell your neighbor, say, you look good today, but you need to change. You need to change. Amen. Come on, look at your other neighbor and say, don't laugh at them. I'm talking to you too. You need to change. You need to change. Because if you don't change, everything will remain the same. Amen. Sometimes I love my beautiful wife. Sometimes I want her to change. And Lord knows she wants me to change. But my life is not going to change unless I change. Amen. Everybody else around me never has to change. They don't ever have to change because they may like where they are. They may like what they do. They may like how they talk. They may like how they throw their socks around. They may like whatever they're doing. They don't ever have to change. But if things are going to be different in your life, you got to change. Amen. Amen. And guess what? God is in the change business. Romans chapter 12 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove a good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. In other words, God's got a better will than what we're getting right now, but we got to change, let our mind be renewed in order to walk into that place. Amen? Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, I ain't joking. You got to change. Amen. Now, I really want to challenge you, strong believers, because I know there are many strong believers in this place today. I really want to challenge you. We're going to go to the book of Hebrews, where we talked about last week. Actually, no, let's do 2 Corinthians first. We talked about these two passages last week, but I want you to get this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. And this was Paul telling the church at Corinth that when they began talking to the disciples, they came to understand something. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore, from now on is a really powerful statement, because that means I'm changing. It means whatever was yesterday, from now on, it's different. In other words, we saw things a certain way. Therefore, from now on, in other words, we have made a decision to change. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. As a Christian, you need to say today, therefore, from now on, I'm regarding nobody according to their flesh. I love you, but I'm not impressed with you, because I don't regard you by your flesh. Amen? I love you, and I ain't afraid of you, because I don't regard you by the flesh. I love you, and I'm not going to look down on you, because I'm not regarding you according to your flesh. Amen. Listen, if I walk into a company, I want the CEO to look me in the eyes and feel like, that's a good brother. And I want to walk by the janitor, look him in his eyes, and he said, that's a cool brother. Amen. I want everybody to feel the same around me. Amen. You know why? Because I'm not looking up or down. Because I'm not regarding you by your flesh. I'm regarding you by what I ought to. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, they said we walked around with Jesus not knowing who he really was, because we thought he was just another guy like us. He wasn't a Pharisee. He wasn't a Sadducee. He's a cool guy that knows God. We're going to follow him. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees looked at him. He's ignorant and uneducated. He ain't been with nobody. How's he know this stuff he ain't supposed to know? Everybody looked at him regarding him according to the flesh. Even Pontius Pilate, when the Jews brought him and set him there in order to condemn him, even Pontius Pilate looked at him and said, are you a king like they say? Here's a little tip for every man in the room. Pontius Pilate's wife told him, I had a dream. Don't mess with that dude. Leave him alone. You need to leave. I had a dream last night. Leave him alone. Amen. That's just for the brothers. Amen. Listen to your helpmeet. She'll keep you out of trouble. Amen. You're supposed to follow God and listen to God. And you're supposed to gauge everything you hear by the word of the Lord. And you got to listen. It ain't an either or. And you got to listen. Amen? Now, On the same side of the coin, ladies, Eve talked to a serpent and got a good idea. We all got to listen to God. I had to mix it up, Dr. Ron. Keep it balanced. Therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet, now, in other words, we got a new revelation. We got a new understanding. We knew him according to the flesh, but now we know we don't know him like that anymore. Amen. So you start knowing Jesus in your flesh. You start knowing him as Savior and Deliverer. You start knowing him that way. Ooh, I know him. Ooh, he saved me. You start knowing him that way. Then you start knowing him as Lord and King. And the lordship of Jesus becomes a spiritual lordship because now he starts to exercise dominion over your life. At first, we come to Jesus out of fear. We don't want to go to hell. That's our flesh talking. We come to Christ because we ain't trying to go to hell. Then we come to know him in both his resurrection power, which means he went from this life to a new life. And then in the fellowship, word fellowship means partnership. Koinonia, meaning we got partner, we got communion, connection, communication. We got connected to Jesus. Now we know him not in the flesh any longer. Now we know him by his spiritual presence in our lives. And Jesus said this, is whether two or three of y'all gather together, I'll be manifested in your presence. You know why? Because I'm not physically here, but my spirit will show up when you get gathered. Yeah. Corporate worship is powerful because we came two or three, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 1,000, 100,000 people all come together in his name. What happens? He starts showing up. Woo, come on now. Man, if two or three, you know what the word says? It says one can set 1,000 to flight. Two can set 10,000 to flight. So what would happen if all the God's people got together and started setting some things to flight rather than arguing whether you got baptized in the right way? Amen. We know him no longer by flesh. We know him by the Spirit. And we start to recognize God's trying to awaken your spirit. God's trying to get your spirit alive. God's trying to get you so that your spirit becomes the thing that guides your flesh and blood body. When Jesus told them, he said, listen, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He's trying to explain to you, you need to understand there's a connection between your flesh and blood body and what happens spiritually around you. He said, that's why I'm giving you keys. I'm giving you keys so you recognize that you got access to both things. Amen. If you got a key to my house, you have a key to my living room and my kitchen. Amen. When you got in, you got access to both. He said, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. Understand the kingdom operates in both dimensions, but the kingdom itself is not meat and drink. But it's righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? In the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit starts to become that element of the kingdom life in which we start to be partakers fully. Because why? We're not participating with Christ in the flesh any longer. Amen. Now, let's go to the next verse. Therefore, because we're not dealing with flesh, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he, she, we are new creations. Amen. I want you to say, I am a new creation. Amen. My feet didn't grow, but I'm a new creation. Amen. Come on. Come on. My hair ain't changed, but I'm a new creation. Come on. Well, some of us hair did change, but I ain't talking about nobody in particular. I am a new creation. Amen. Come on. Come on. My hair used to be jet black. My beard, too. My hair's still speckled black, but that beard was so black. Matter of fact, I used to coach this middle school basketball team, and one of my kids said, "Coach, you dye your beard, don't you?" I said, "No, I don't dye my beard. It's black like this." "No, coach, you dyeing that beard." I said, "I'm not dyeing that beard. This beard is black." It ain't black no more. Amen. If I come in here black tomorrow, I dyed that beard. But right now, no, I'm living how it is. Amen. We become new. So when you come to Christ, you become a new creation. And sometimes as Christians, we've forgotten that we have become new creations. And we try to live as old creations with new creation clothes on. Let me say it the other way. We new creations trying to wear old creation clothes. Amen. Back in the day, I was in the Marine Corps, and I had my camos on, right, and my boots, and I had my whole thing, had my cover on my hat, right, high and tight haircut, you know, I had it all together. Look, Marine Corps. Guess what? If I pull that uniform out, I would be like this. Yeah. I'd be biting my lip trying to find a button that thing. When I went to Marine Corps, I was 6'4", and I weighed 175 pounds. I only grew 3 inches, but I put on 100 pounds. Amen. I couldn't button that thing for nothing. No. If you're a new creation, sometimes you're going to try to put your old creation clothes on, and you'll find out they don't fit. Amen. And sometimes those new creation clothes are going places you used to go, and you'll find out, man, they don't fit. And sometimes you try to do things you used to do, and it don't fit. And sometimes somebody aggravated you, and you have a reaction, and you realize, man, it don't fit. Amen. Why? Because your new creation don't fit your old clothes. I am a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, guess what? Anybody who says yes to Jesus, if you say yes, you are a new creation. Amen. And then what it says, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Old things have passed away, and what? All things become new. Woo-wee, come on. Come on, how many of y'all like new stuff? Yeah, you like new stuff, amen. That's why y'all be in the store all the time. You like new stuff. You like new stuff. So why we keep trying to put the old stuff on? Me and my wife were having a conversation. Sometimes you buy something, you buy it and you think, I'm gonna wear this on this special occasion. Right? And then it's in the closet for half a decade, and the new occasion ain't never came yet, right? Ain't the new occasion never came. And you say, man, I never wore. Man, I never. Come on, waiting for y'all to finish. Man, I never. I never wore that. It was yours. It was in your closet. You liked it when you saw it. You wanted it. You, matter of fact, you knew you couldn't afford it when you bought it. It was outside of your budget when you bought it, but you bought it anyway, and you put it in the closet, and you put the tag around. You flipped the tag around so whoever else goes in your closet didn't know it was new. I ain't talking about her. I ain't talking about her. Come on. That was a Holy Ghost insight to what some of y'all be doing in your closet. That wasn't talking about my wife. But we go all through the trouble of getting this new stuff, only to put it in the closet and never wear it. How many new things do you have in Christ, but you ain't never pulled out yet? You haven't never put it on. You haven't put on righteousness. You haven't put on holiness. You haven't put on grace and mercy. You ain't put it on yet. It's still in the closet waiting on you, but you already got access to it because you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. How much stuff do you not yet access from God? It's because you ain't pulled it out yet. This Bible is full of yay and amen promises in your Bible. And some of the yay and amens, we haven't said amen yet, too. Ooh, come on. Come on, say, I am. A new creation. Now, what stops you from putting on your new stuff? Hebrews chapter 5. We went there last week, but now I want to really dig in. And I gave y'all the example that if my son came to me, my 30-something-year-old son came to my house and said, Pops, I love you. I'm going back on the milk. I miss them old days, Pops. I'm going back to the milk. I said, what you talking about? You going back to the milk? Yeah, I'm going back to milk, Pops. I mean, wait a minute. You know, all the steaks I done seen you eat, and now you're going back to milk? I would be highly disturbed. Come on. And it ain't because it's my son. I'd be highly disturbed if any grown man told me, I'm going back on the milk. Now, my son never did that. Praise God, he never did that, but I'm just telling you. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be what?
Teachers.
We talked about last week how the cycle of spiritual growth, how it goes all the way, and you don't really get to maturity. You haven't completed your journey until you start imparting to other people. That's what? That's teaching other people what you know. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone else to teach you. I'm just pausing for a moment. I want it to soak, right? For though this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. The oracles means sayings or the scriptures, right? Someone to teach you the scriptures again. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Now, someone needs milk. And again, I gave you a little different example. Somebody making a decision to go to milk. But somebody needs milk. It means that I haven't fully matured and I really need to not get too deep because I can't handle depth. I need milk, right? Because the milk is going to give me my basic nourishment. It's going to get me, you know, it's going to get me the basic things that I need, right? So my five-month-old, about to call him a nephew, he ain't my nephew. My five-month-old grandson, I'm still working on saying that word, grandson. My five-month-old grandson has not eaten any food yet. But my daughter took a video yesterday where he's grabbing at a glass trying to put something in his mouth. Because he's getting ready. He's trying to graduate to another level, right? He's trying to come up, right? But what happens if he needs it? He needs the foundational nourishment. See, there's nothing wrong with being new in the things of God and needing to learn things. Nothing wrong with it. But there's an expectation of growth for all Christians. Right. And so I had several conversations this week which were interesting in that there were conversations I had with people. And clarity, no, not people here. Conversations I had with people that revealed to me that the individual was on the milk when they're supposed to be on meat. Now here's one of the issues, and again, this is not any one particular person. This is a pattern I'm observing. I'm observing in the body of Christ, and you all have heard me squawk about this before, that we got into this Republican versus Democratic Christian argument. and this Republican versus Christian, Republican versus Democrat argument is not a Christian argument. It's an argument about human morality. Because neither one of them is crying out, all y'all are sinners and you need Jesus. That's the message of the church. The message of the church is not what they say on the left or what they say on the right. The message of the church is all of y'all are messed up. Everybody sinned and falls short of the glory of God. We all need Jesus as a Lord and Savior. Once you get Jesus in your life and you start to become a worshiper and you start to talk to God, God will start making corrections in your life that I will never have to talk to you about. God will start changing things when he starts to, listen, when you start hearing God's voice, I won't have to tell you not to do X, Y, Z. God will start talking to you. But what happens to most Christians is that we start leaning into morality without leaning into the Word of God. Or we take what somebody said the Word said, and we're standing on somebody else's words. Listen, when I came up in the things of God, when I became a believer, when I became a Christian, one of the things my pastor would always say, he would say, you need to know the Bible for yourself. And so, you know what? I said, okay. And I read the Bible for myself. Why? Because I recognize, and an interesting thing, my pastor was very dynamic. He had a lot of sayings, and we used to call them nutisms, right? You know, Pastor Nut, nutisms. It would be things he said, right? And so we would have nutisms that we would quote back, right? That's fine. But you need to know not only what the nutism was, what did the Bible actually say, too? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I say stuff all the time, but guess what? You really need to go to the Word. You need to make sure that after you hear a message that you go pull your Bible out and you look at the passage I looked at, and if you don't get what I got, you can say, Pastor Derry, I read it and I don't get it. Because I'll come back, I'll preach it again next week. If nobody got it, I will pull the same notes out and preach the same message next week. And y'all know I will. Because I don't care if you are impressed with what I said. I want you to make sure you understand what I said. And that what you went from understanding that you went to revelation because you went to the Word of God yourself and you actually got what God said so you can use it yourself. Amen. Come on. I ain't looking for fans. I'm looking for partners. Amen. I'm looking for people to partner up with this work. Amen. Come on. Because guess what? I can't reach the world on my own. We need partnership. We need everybody to be involved. We need everybody to recognize their gifted call and have a purpose in this life. Amen. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, say, I think you got a purpose. But you might have to change. I ain't letting go of that change. Amen. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in what? The word of righteousness. There was these two ladies who were having an argument. This ain't a joke. The two ladies are having an argument. And as they're arguing about a very hot topic. And one of them says, well, the Bible says this. The other one says, oh, do you mean the passage that says dot, 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 dot? They said, well, I don't know where it is, but the Bible says it. And the other person said, well, it says blah, 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 blah. The person saying it back was misquoting it. But they did know what the scripture was. And so the person who now was probably correct but wasn't aware themselves struggled to respond. And then I could see by their face they started doubting themselves. Because someone quoted something back to them. Amen. It is important that as believers, you don't have to memorize the whole Bible. You don't have to know everything in the Bible. You don't have to know all that. But what you know, you need to know. Amen. And you start with salvation scriptures. You start with knowing salvation scriptures. You start with scriptures to start telling you who you are in Christ. When you start with those and you get those locked down, everything else will grow off of those. But you start with those things. And when you start with that, then what happens is you start recognizing, man, wait a minute, I am a new creation. If I went and got a citizenship to a new country and they don't speak English, if I got a citizenship, the first thing I'm going to do is learn that language. Amen. I'm not going to be a citizen somewhere and go somewhere and can't communicate with nobody. What's the point in being a citizen if you can't communicate? What's the sense in being a citizen if I can't speak the language that they speak in this country where I got a new citizenship? Woo. Hebrews chapter 11 said you had to seek out a new citizenship. You found a new place to be. You got a new land you're a part of. Amen. Come on, you're a citizen of heaven. Do you know that? And you need to speak heaven's language. Amen. Verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses discerned, exercised to discern both good and evil. There's a joke about people who go to the gym and you meet some guy that has a strong upper body and teeny tiny legs. That he's always skipping leg day. Because what you exercise, it becomes obvious. Amen. Some of y'all say, Pastor, you need to do some sit-ups so it needs to be obvious that. All right, I'm on. Amen. Okay, praise God. I want to get to something here. The exercising. If you start taking the word of God and you start exercising the word, you'll recognize you'll get strong in the word. If you exercise the word, you'll start to grow in the word. If you start exercising the word, you'll start finding out that the word that you begin to exercise starts to become a strength for you. Amen. And so to recognize that, you can see it. And so when that starts to show openly is when it's been exercised enough for you to become mature in that thing. Amen. But what we don't exercise doesn't ever get stronger. Amen. If you want to grow in spiritual maturity, you got to start exercising. That means you begin with where you are. Amen. Come on, like I said, if I go to the gym and I say I'm about to bench press 550, this is my day. I'm going in there and I'm going to bench press 550. Guess what? That 550 is going to press me into the ground. I probably should have started with what I can actually do. And my goal may be 550. But that don't mean I got to try to do it today. But I got to do something today. Because if I don't change, nothing's going to change. Amen? Amen? Amen. So we're going on to maturity. Amen? Amen? Chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Now, I want to reverse engineer this. He said, y'all are already Hebrews. Remember, this is the book of Hebrews. He said, y'all were already Jewish. These other Gentiles, they coming to know Christ from foundation. You Hebrews are getting left behind. You already knew who God was. You already knew Jehovah God. You already knew God's characteristics and aspects. And so you, by this time, should be teaching all the Gentiles and not having the Gentiles come and teach you. He said, now we got to go back. Let's get past this and let's go on. We don't have to reestablish these foundational principles of Christ. But I want to say, actually, we do need to understand these elementary principles of Christ. Because the elementary principles of Christ become the foundation for a strong Christian life. That's not tossed to and fro. That's not caught with every wind of doctrine. That doesn't get excited because we see something shiny. And most certainly, in this season right now, with the where the politics in this country are about to go, it's going to be a whole lot of conversations about left and right, and Jesus is not going to be in the conversation. So you need to have your elementary principles of Christ established so that when all the foolishness starts going, you don't get tossed to and fro. I'm not a hot topic, chop it up kind of guy. That ain't the kind of guy I am. I don't like talking about hot topics because if we talk about hot topics, it should have been hot yesterday. I'm not that kind of guy. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about hot topics. I'm just not one. Verse 1, therefore, leaving the elementary discussion of the principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. There's six foundations listed here. I'm going to say them, and I'm not going to preach them. I'm going to say them, and we're going to see how God's going to have us talk about them coming up. The first principle, the very first principle of Christ, the first one is repentance from dead works. Trust me, we live in a season nobody wants to repent because nobody wants to change. And as a matter of fact, if you suggest that people ought to change, people try to cancel you because they don't want change. Guess what? I had to change. How come you don't have to change? And guess what? Matter of fact, you don't have to change. You just have to talk to God. Amen. Change is natural. Change is the only way you grow. Come on. We were at my parents' house, and we were going through some stuff, and in a bag, it was a little white outfit, probably like this big, and some little white shoes. And guess what? Them was mine. It was my little church outfit, little white church outfit my mother had me in, and them little hard white shoes, you know, old school, and nobody hardly wear no more. You know, them little, Stride Right, whatever, Buster Brown, I don't know, it was the little white shoes, little white baby shoes, right? Those were my shoes. I can't fit them shoes, y'all. I couldn't put that little shoe on my big toe. I would not even fit on my toe. Because I've grown since then. Amen. You need to set your mind that the only way you grow is if you change. So repentance is the first step to spiritual change, because repentance is saying, I don't want to be where I am. I want to be in a new place. But it's very specific here, not just repentance. It's repentance from dead works. What are dead works? The Greek behind this suggests that dead works are efforts to be justified without Christ. Dead works. All the things we do to impress God that have nothing to do with Christ being in the center of our lives. Those are dead. We need to repent from those. We need to stop trying to be justified by God by how good we are or how behavior we are or what we did this, what we did that, how much we gave, how much we did, doop, doop, doop. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, if you gave all your goods to feed the poor and if you burned yourself, you did all these works, but you did it without love, you just make a noise. So to understand dead works to repent of, guess what? You will never be justified by how good you are, how cool you are, or how way you look. You won't be justified because you was born in the right family. Amen. Just like you're not condemned because you were born in the wrong family. So to understand those things means that first step is repentance, but repentance of itself only gets you to feel different. You got to then turn your faith toward God, which is the second portion. Faith toward God. So we want to have a change of heart, change of mind. That's what repentance means, to have a change of heart and mind regarding whatever, specifically your justification. And number two, then you want to then take that change and aim that change toward God, most specifically to Christ. Jesus is our salvation. Number three is the doctrine of baptisms with an S on the end. Won't try to explain that. But baptism is a foundational doctrine of Christ. Then it's the laying on of hands. We lay hands on people for a couple of reasons. We lay hands to pray. We lay hands to agree. And that other laying hands, that ain't biblical. All right. Y'all didn't catch that one. It's all right. You caught it. It just wasn't funny. That's good. Thank you. That's the risk you take. Amen. Of resurrection of the dead. As believers, you need to believe there's a resurrection as opposed to other things. Okay? Some believers have started to get into, they've added spiritualism into Christianity, and they've started talking about coming back. You got one shot at this. You got to do it the right way, the right time, first time. Amen. Can't come back as a cricket or a grasshopper or, you know, you ain't coming back as a monkey or anything else. You got to do it right the first time. Amen. The only time. Amen. Resurrection of the dead and foundational thing here, eternal judgment. Nobody wants to talk about hell nowadays. Hell's not the only form of eternal judgment. But we need to understand what it means. What is eternal judgment? What does it mean? Okay. And it doesn't say final judgment. It says eternal judgment. Eternity is a spectrum. Eternity is not an end place. Eternity is a spectrum that goes across yesterday, today, and forever. So it doesn't just say judgment, final judgment. It says eternal, which means there's judgments along the road that we want to be aware of. We want to recognize how they go, because we always just default to judgment at the end. Sometimes my behaviors get judged. Sometimes things I do get judged. Sometimes I have to live with ramifications of my decisions. Those are all portions of judgment. We have to understand that. Amen? All right. Now, I want you to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to close with this. 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to look at verse 17 again. You know what it says? If any man is in Christ, he is what? Who are you? Come on, who are you? One more time, who are you? You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Everything's become new about you. So we're going to talk to you about these foundations, because I want you to get a hold of these, because I don't want you being tossed to and fro in the next 2 years, especially. Next 2 years is going to be a whole lot of arguing, a whole lot of fussing, and a whole lot of pointing fingers, and a whole lot of bunch of other stuff that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So we need to make sure that we're on the foundations and we are ready for all the rhetoric that's going to happen, because it's going to be a whole bunch of people that get deceived because they're going to get caught up in foolishness and foolish talking and not according to Christ. You got to recognize you are a new creation. Whatever's been in your life, whatever's going on before, it's behind you. You're a new creation. And guess what? I'm a new creation today. I gave my life to Christ 30 years ago, but guess what? Today I'm a new creation. I woke up this morning with a clean slate with God. Amen. I woke up this morning fresh and new. Amen. That's how I woke up this morning. Why? Because I'm a new creation. And His mercies renew day by day. Woo, hallelujah. Day by day, He keeps renewing new mercies I see every day. So guess what? Whatever was in my past is in my past. You might remember, but I'm not worried about it. Because the word told me that any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. And guess what? If any man is in Christ, guess what? Old things pass away. Right. Amen. Whatever my identity was in the past, it don't make no difference now. Why? Because I got a new identity in Christ. I got a new identity in Christ. Everybody knew me as whatever back in the, if your name was Pookie back where you lived, you don't have to be called Pookie today. You can change your name. Amen. You can change your name. Don't call me Pookie no more. My name... Give yourself a new name. You don't have to identify with whatever's been in the past, because if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. And your new creation is not your flesh. Your new creation is your new spirit before God, which means that you have the right to change your name. Amen. Come on. Come on. What did God do when he met Abraham? He said, your name is no longer Abram. Your name now is Abraham. When God met Jacob, wrestled with Jacob one night, he said, I ain't going to let you go, angel. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. He said, okay, I'm going to bless you. Here's your new name. Gave him a new name. Amen. Come on. Sometimes some of us need a fresh start with a new name. Amen. Come on, I'm gonna give you this resource again. If you don't have it, you need to get who I am in Christ, and you need to start confessing this stuff over yourself. You need to recognize you're accepted in Christ, and as an accepted person, you have a right to deny any former sense of rejection or anything else you ever had. Amen? You don't have to live in it. Well, I was rejected by my parents. Guess what? Thank you. You know what? Let's say thank you, parents, for putting me in position to receive Christ. So thank you for your rejection, because I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus now. Because you didn't want me, guess what? God wants me. Praise God. And God is so good, I don't even have to be mad at you for not wanting me. Woo, come on. Come on, y'all. Amen. Listen. Grab your neighbor's arm real quick. Praise God. You're not in this by yourself, saints. Amen. Amen. You're not by yourself. We're new creations, and as new creations, we are part of a body of Christ, a global body of Christians everywhere across the world. There's people worshiping God in Antarctica right now. There's people worshiping God in Europe and Asia right now, worshiping the living God, saying, Jesus, Jesus, wonderful Jesus. There's people in Africa worshiping the Lord, calling out Jesus' name. Amen. There's people in Australia and Indonesia. All over the world, there are people saying yes to Jesus. China, Japan, Korea, in Nigeria, Ghana, people saying yes, calling out the name of Jesus. So we want to remember, as you join with another person here, remember, you're not by yourself. Jesus is the head, and we are his body. We're the body of Christ, and that's why we're new creations. I'm not a new creation just because. I'm a new creation because I've been joined to a new thing, the body of Christ, renewed day by day, strengthened with might from the inside, with a unifying Holy Spirit that pours through all of us to join us. And he brings gifts and deposits them as he wills into individuals. And so you're linked together with a gifted person. You're linked together with a talented individual. You're linked together with a person with whom God has placed an inheritance for you to benefit.